You know, sometimes I just hate being right. I mean, I do recall that I said, if Joe Biden became president, we would be in jeopardy of our courts being packed. And guess what? We're in jeopardy right now of our courts being packed. Except, oops, you're not supposed to say that. Actually, make sure you download and subscribe to this podcast right now. Really, go to trishintel.com. Go there, subscribe before I get banned. Because seriously, the Democrats say this isn't court packing. I'm probably going to get in trouble for even using the words. You know, but here's the deal, guys. We all know better. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. This is the Trish Intel Show. Do go to trishintel.com. As I said, download this podcast. Subscribe to my emails. Make sure that you're getting the truth, because here we are, not even 2 weeks in to Joe Biden's presidency, and he's now starting a commission to study the Supreme Court while the Democrats make every indication that they're out there to pack the darn courts. They're going to start with the lower courts first. Clever, right? They're going to do it under the guise of needing more judges to process the cases. Let me quote Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who said on MSNBC, "Traditionally, we have increased the number in the lower and circuit courts. I have in the city of Buffalo. They don't have enough judges. There's this long line before you can get to the court because they don't have enough, so we could expand those." Yes, that's Chuck Schumer saying we could expand those. Democrats, you see, they want to expand the number of federal judges. This is very clever. In the lower courts, in order to, quote, deal with growing numbers of backlogs of pending cases in many states. Interestingly enough, here's another one. Senator Dick Durbin saying, Senate Judiciary Committee chairman. Interestingly enough, quote, "I had a Republican senator who approached me about expanding the number of federal judges in his state. So there seems to be some sentiment there that there are backlogs in the dockets of federal judges." Oh, I see. So they're going to try and get this one through. And hey, maybe even with Republicans' help. Stranger things have happened. I mean, I'm looking for some Republicans these days. I'm looking for some good old-fashioned Tea Party conservatives that actually care about all this money that's getting spent. And I don't find them. I don't see them. Anyway, these guys won. The Democrats won. And they're going to milk it for all it's worth. Right? But one of my big concerns really, you know, is the future of this nation and the socialist direction that we are taking, including the Supreme Court. I mean, I'm sorry, guys, but this is exactly what happened in Venezuela. They went and they packed the courts. And right now you got a situation where the president of the United States has already appointed a bipartisan, that's how they get around it, quote unquote, bipartisan commission to study the Supreme Court and the federal judiciary. This commission is going to be housed under the purview of the White House counsel office. You've got none other than Biden's campaign lawyer, Bob Bauer, who's co-chairing this darn commission. It doesn't have a mandate yet, apparently. That's still being decided, but I mean, let's call it what it is. It's a commission to study the federal judiciary and the Supreme Court, which again is exactly what happened in Venezuela. 2004, Hugo Chavez, who had come to power, he packed the court with 12 of his allies. And you know what? This country, Venezuela, has been on a very bad socialist path ever since. I mean, is that what we want? I mean, you look at what they're doing right now, this total complete grab for power. I don't think it's healthy. You know what? I'd say the same thing if it was the other way as well, because whenever you have those extremes deciding things, it's extremely dangerous territory. And I'm sorry, but we cannot count on the Republican Party right now. A bunch of politicians out to save their own hides. We cannot count on them to save us from this plight. They are all politicians at the end of the day, every single one of them, only concerned about getting elected. Whatever happened to responsibility? What happened even to the Tea Party? I'm going to tackle it next. Okay, President Biden and the Democrats, they may be asking for $1.9 trillion, which is a whole lot of money, but I'll tell you one thing. Do not look to the Republicans to exercise any kind of fiscal restraint anytime soon on this, right? The Republicans have their own deal. You got 10 of them, led by Senator Collins out of Maine, introducing a $618 billion COVID-19 stimulus plan. They want to send $1,000 in direct payments to most adults, as well as $300 a week in weekly federal payments. $300, it's less than the Democrats proposed. $400, but nonetheless, we're talking about a lot of money here. And it's not $1,400 in direct payments, it's $1,000 in direct payments. I'm sorry, but this is basically some version of the Democrat plan. In any normal reality, right, we'd be looking at $1,000 in direct payments, $300 a week in federal unemployment benefits, and we'd be like, whoa, this is a lot. I mean, just to keep it in perspective, I want you to know that during the financial crisis of 2008, which had a lot of ramifications and people were, you know, turning in the keys to their homes, President Obama's administration actually provided just $25 a week in federal unemployment insurance. So we're going from 25 to at least 300. That's the opening bid from the Republicans, 400 from the Dems. Susan Collins of Maine, I'm sorry, but again, where are the leaders in the Republican Party? She's now trying to get $1,000 for all adults, $500 for children. The Democrats want $1,400 for adults, $1,400 for children. So actually, if you break it down, the Democrats are looking for, say, for a family of four, $5,600. It's a lot of money. In direct payments, a family of four, the Republicans want $3,000. But I'm sorry, any way you slice it, it's a lot of money. And I would just say it's a political no win for Republicans, because once again, Republicans are going to be mischaracterized as total, miserly, affluent, out of touch bureaucrats. Actually, maybe I shouldn't say mischaracterized. Maybe that's entirely what they are. And that's indeed the problem. I mean, so they're out there, you know, saying 3,000 instead of 5,600. At some point, it's kind of like, what's the difference? I mean, why can't we actually have a real system, a real program that will matter, as opposed to, you know, money for nothing, checks for free, right? Remember that song? Look, we don't have the money. Okay, I don't know how else to say it. $27+ trillion in debt. That's how much money we already owe. We're running deficits that we can't keep up with. At some point, interest rates really will go up, folks. They really will. And then how are we going to even pay the interest on all this money that we owe? You know, this really shouldn't be a partisan issue. In fact, I kind of got a kick out of it just because it was so political during the Trump administration. You actually had a few Democrats sounding like fiscal conservatives. I'm like, whoa, are they taking over the Tea Party? Anyway, you know, now that the Trump administration is out and Biden's in and the Democrats are controlling everything, the Democrats are back to spend, because what do? You buy votes. And you've got a Republican Party that is so broken and so messed up, nobody's actually willing to stand for anything. It's so much easier, right, to just keep on buying votes. So they're you know, in the middle ground saying, okay, maybe not 5,600, but we'll give 3,000. Look, here's what I would say. We do need programs to help families that need assistance. Look, government needs to be there to help people to help themselves. But that's important, right? Help themselves. So the question now is, how are we going to really determine who needs what? The Democrats have the 50K income limit per individual, 100K per couple. The Republicans are aiming to see a 40K limit, 80K per couple. But you know what? None of it makes any sense anyway, because 100K in New York City is a whole lot different than 100K in Mississippi, right? If you actually wanted to be fair, maybe you'd actually look at adjusting the limits based on the cost of living for each taxpayer. But gosh darn it, that's too hard for these people. I mean, for goodness sakes, this is ultimately why none of us really trust the government to get it right, because they can't figure out their, you know, ASS from their elbow, as some people would say. Case in point, in September, we reported on Trish Intel that the IRS sent $1.6 billion in stimulus checks to deceased Americans, proving the government really doesn't know whether you are dead or alive, right? $1.6 billion of our money went to dead people. I mean, this is how insane it is, really. I'd like to see a real system to address these challenges, which are real challenges with coronavirus. First of all, you need to get as many people as you can vaccinated, okay? And I realize not everybody wants to be vaccinated, but here's the deal. The more people we get vaccinated in our society, the safer we will be, the more we can return to a normal way of life. I mean, some people, I get it. They don't want to return to a normal way of life. And you know, our lives will be different. I think that that is a reality. We've learned that we can do a whole lot more. Hey, technology has proven, right, that we can do our jobs in a whole variety of places, as much as some middle managers may not like that. That is a new reality. It's a new efficiency, a new productivity for our economy. But we should be doing everything we can to get these vaccines out there efficiently, fast. We also need tax incentives for people to go to work by reducing their income tax levels, reducing burdens for small business owners. I mean, guys, it's not that hard. It's not rocket science. It's like, just do what you need to do to encourage work, to encourage productivity. Lower taxes on income, lower taxes on businesses, and find some ways to aid, yes, struggling Americans who need to make ends meet. I really don't have a problem with that, but I don't like encouraging people that are otherwise able-bodied in communities that maybe do have access to jobs to, you know, stay home on $400 a week in unemployment and government stipends. I mean, that is not a way to grow what was a thriving, growing, tremendous economy and will be again, by the way. Don't ever bet against America. I mean, that's a lesson the hedge funds ought to learn, right? They may be learning it as we speak because the Reddit army has spoken. They've gone from GameStop to silver to now, oh, they have a brand new biotech company that they are all after and squeezing the shorts like nobody's business on. I'm going to tell you all about it next. So this has been pretty fascinating to watch. I mean, shares of GameStop, they took a pretty big plunge in trading on Monday, down 30%. Trading continues to be restricted, but Robinhood just got a big cash infusement, so that may start to change. But nonetheless, like it's very interesting how quickly the money is moving around. You saw the online trading community moving on to AMC, another kind of short squeeze. AMC, like GameStop, is one of those that has a very high level of short interest as a percentage of the overall float out there, 69% or so, reportedly, which is what makes it such an attractive squeeze for traders on, you know, Reddit forums like Wall Street Bets. Silver, as I said, silver is getting a big bump, skyrocketing. In fact, iShares Silver Trust, which is one of the world's largest silver-backed exchange-traded funds, it saw more than $1 billion of inflows on Friday that continued into Monday, and we're watching that again very carefully today. The other thing that we are watching very carefully today at trishintel.com, by the way, go and sign up for my emails, download this podcast, make sure you're getting your news there because it's real news. In an environment of very little real news these days or censored news, we actually have the good stuff. Anyway, BioCryst is seeing a lot of activity. It closed out yesterday's session up more than 39%, $11.85 a share. Now, this is another one of these stocks that had been kind of left for dead, right? The shorts were all over it. And then you had this army of online traders declaring BioCryst Pharmaceuticals to be the latest company effectively in need of saving, right, from the shorts. And so they've got this so-called bio war going on. It's a hashtag bio war. That's how they're referring to it on social media. So retail investors are pouring their money into these shares because there was a post in a Reddit chat room, Wall Street Bets, which basically said, well, didn't basically say, let me quote from it here. This is the quote. It said it was the most undervalued stock in the market. Okay. So everybody's running in. Now, you know, look, because of all this activity, right? What you've seen with GameStop, what you've seen with BioCryst, a lot of people are saying to me, what the heck is a short squeeze? And how are online traders really driving this mass buying? And so it's worth taking a moment just to kind of back up and understand how all this works. A short is a kind of trade, right? Where an investor is betting on a stock going down. And if a trader thinks a stock is overvalued, then that trader is going to place a bet that that stock is going to go lower. They're going to do that by shorting the stock. To short the stock, what they do is traders borrow the shares. They turn to their buddy and say, hey, can I borrow some of those shares? And then they turn around and they sell them immediately, right? Because they have the intent of buying the shares back at lower prices. And then they'll settle it out with their buddy. Now, if the short sellers are correct and the share prices fall, then they're able to buy the stock back at the lower price. And what do? They pocket the difference. That's how they make their money. That difference between the sell price and the buy price, that's how they make their profit. Of course, if they're wrong, right, and the stock actually that they're shorting starts going up in value, if it increases in value, then they're going to lose their money. And short selling is often used very legitimately, right, as a way to hedge any kind of downside risk in the markets or in a given portfolio. It kind of helps to even out some of the volatility. That said, you know, there's hedge fund traders that say, okay, that's my mark. that's the company I'm shorting, and they go all in on this short. And so it can be pretty risky, as we are now seeing, because if there are people on the other side of that trade, it can get kind of scary for the shorts. And I think the shorts are getting a little bit scared. In fact, I would not be surprised if the cost of hedging goes up significantly as a result of all this, because you've got these short squeezes and you don't know where they're going to come from. I would not be surprised, by the way, we'll see how this all plays out, but somebody pretty smart is behind all this, because you have to know about the short interest, right, in these stocks to begin with. They're finding stocks where there are a lot of shorts, there's a lot of activity, kind of thinly traded, and they're going after that in terms of the short squeeze. And so as this all unravels, I'd be really curious, because you don't really do this in a vacuum. You kind of have to understand some of the in and outs, and somebody there in the online community is pretty smart, because they've targeted these particular companies that did have a ton of short interest. GameStop, AMC, tons of volatility. You know, you get the clearinghouses involved. The clearinghouses, they were concerned that trades wouldn't properly settle. So they started upping the margin requirements on the online brokers like Robinhood. So then Robinhood had to go get this big cash infusion. There are reports that it's got like almost $3 billion now, right, that they've taken in. And so that's quite a bit. And people will be able more easily to trade on these platforms, given that they have the extra money for the margin requirements. But I'll tell you one thing. It has created a firestorm in Washington. I mean, when can you ever remember Ted Cruz and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez being on the same side of things? I think that's actually kind of disturbing if you think about it. Anyway, go to TrishaIntel.com. We're following all the markets. We're following the economy, and we are following politics. Make sure that you do get the truth. It matters for you. It matters for your family. It matters for America's future. TrishaIntel.com. I'll see you there.